You're listening to the Asian Action Cast, the best and worst of Hong Kong and Asian action cinema. The podcast contains coarse language and adult themes.
When you take the pebble from my hand, it will be time for you to leave.
Ninja! The tea party's over!
Time for you to leave.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of the Asian Action Cast, your one-stop shop for the best and worst of Hong Kong and Asian action cinema. My name's Sam. Joining me tonight, we've got Chris. Hello, Chris.
I'm back, baby.
You're back. Mikey.
Hello.
And Nathan.
Hey!
Hey, hey, hey. Coming at you. Live and hot. How's everybody feeling? All right?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. Pretty relaxed.
You got a nice buzz going, man.
A nice buzz. I got myself a nice ice cold Coke. I hope everybody's got a nice beverage for them.
I'm drinking a Diplomatico with a twist of lime and some ice.
Oh, fancy. Anybody got anything better than that?
Methylated spirits with a drop of green cordial.
Goombag!
Yeah. My Coke says delicious and refreshing, and boy, is it ever.
It's not lying.
It's not lying. All right.
Is everybody super relaxed after their holidays, after their long weekend?
Still going. Just over halfway through the long weekend.
Yeah, I know, but it feels like I had the week off. I went to Rottnest. Christian, you went to Bali?
I did. I didn't even know it was a long weekend this weekend. So that's pure coincidence as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, you've done well.
How was Bali, bro?
Should we take
it off the pod?
Yes. I don't think the listeners need to know.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. What
the
happened
listeners
Bali
need
face?
To know we're a jet setting exclusive club that don't stay in Kuta.
No. But the listeners of the Asian Action Cast didn't dial in just to listen to the trip.
That's right.
We're going to talk about that off the air. Podcast. Yeah, that's right. This is the Asian Action Cast. And today we did watch an action film. It is Asian, not from Hong Kong, though. It's a film from 1986 called M.D. Geist. And
it's 1996, bro.
The one we saw was 96. The original was 86. Yeah. The director's cut, I think, we saw was from 96. Actually, very, very interesting story behind it, but we'll get to that. M.D. Geist is an anime film that was originally...
Is it a film or is it an OVA?
It's an OVA.
What's the difference? Do you want to explain the difference?
The difference Michael? Is a... Basically, let's just call it a direct-to-DVD movie. So OVA is original video animation. They basically... They fall into a couple of different classes. So one is kind of self-financed kind of way to get into the market where you've got like an idea and you don't have enough funding to make a full series or a movie, etc. So they do this kind of shortened, kind of longer than a TV episode, but not long enough to be a movie kind of thing. Or the other side is when they do them as like companions to other series. So they might do like a series and then throw it as an extra that they throw onto the DVD release and that kind of stuff to advance the story or just do a bit of fan service or whatever. And this one probably falls into the former. So it's kind of like a introduction to a story that they didn't really have the financing to make into a full series or whatever.
That was not wrong.
Bit of an idea.
That would make sense because I talked with Sam about this on our chat, but this movie reminded me a lot of, remember when we first started watching anime, we go down to the local video store and get the tapes and everything. I saw a lot that just seemed like they were half done, massively edited, and just because it seemed like huge chunks of the story was missing. Because you watch these ones like, Akira is a good one to start off with. It had a great story and it fleshed everything out, and like Ninja Scroll and all these other ones, complete movies we saw that were actual, you know, you knew what was going, they told the story. And then you see these ones that just seemed like they were lots and lots cut, heavily edited. I thought it might have been just a thing for Australia at the time, or that, you know, maybe the studio didn't want people, you know, or the release company didn't want it to, they felt, had a falling out with the people who made it or something like that. I don't know, but
I just did look into this, Chris, and I have a little bit of trivia if you'd like to know the story behind it.
Please do.
So yeah, yeah. So you're not wrong there.
This, I'm going to go out on a limb and say the director is like usually known for like spaceship design or mechanical design, and this is his like
crossover
like,
work.
Not crossover, but like his like I've got an idea. I want to put things forward. This is my OVA to try and get noticed and maybe get picked up by a larger studio.
Ooh, well, can I do one too? Yeah. I'm going to guess that he's straight out of high school and he wants to get into the anime industry, and he got, you know,
a bit. It could be a university project. I wouldn't say it's straight out of high school. Yep. It's a bit too good for that.
Cool.
This is great. You guys are actually not far off the truth. So you're right about it being an OVA. The original runtime was 40 minutes. The director's cut that we saw goes for about 50. It was directed. Now, this is the interesting bit. So the build director was Koichi. Hayato Ikeda was the director, but he didn't actually direct this film. They only put his name on it because they needed somebody's name who'd done films before. Because the director is Koichi Ohara. And Koichi Ohara at the time was 23 years old, had never directed a film, and they didn't want to put his name on there because then all of the investors and whatnot would walk get away. A little bit nervous. Yeah, that's right. So Ohara is actually the one that did all of the directing. And when he originally did the writing of the script and the story, they realized that about 20% of it they couldn't afford to film. So,
that's why it's shorter than it should be.
Yeah.
And also why you can definitely see bits in it where they use the same 15 seconds. You can see it loop.
Yeah, and there's a lot of like still frames that kind of last for about 3 or 4 seconds. Out, don't they? Mm. Yeah. So it went for 50 minutes, but so a lot of the stuff wasn't animated, and it was, I think 10 years after it was released in Japan. America, it was a production company called, I think, Central Park Media. They picked it up, and then they actually commissioned a sequel to it. Because
holy shit, there's a sequel to this?
Yep. Yeah, there is. They thought it was the best thing ever. It's to the point where they actually used the Geist imagery, the mecha imagery, as the mascot for their, basically their American-based anime arm or manga arm. So this was a big deal at the time because I think this was around the time that like Akira and anime was really just starting to make a name for itself in the States. So when this came out and then it's got all this, you know, like titties and hardcore violence, it just kind of blew everyone away. Because you can imagine, you know, when we were watching this or when I would have been watching this, I would have been probably like 10 years old or 15 years old or whatever. You know, watching this shit would have just been crazy because you had Mad Max as well and all that stuff with cyberpunk was just really, really popular.
I mean, this is a pastiche. This is not a very good story or interesting. But, you know, if the dude's known as like a robot designer, is he known as a robot designer?
I don't know if he made a name for himself as a robot designer later, but he did do a lot of the drawings himself.
Have you brought up the stuff like, what's he going to do? No, I haven't bothered.
What's Ohara actually done?
Yeah, what's he gone on to do after this? Because obviously we're saying this is his start. This is his start.
Probably. I don't know if it's his start. It does, but it feels like someone trying to say, I can do this shit. The reason I think he's a mechanical designer is, A, there's a lot of still shots of really cool looking designs, but also, number two, the one bit that I feel like is super animated is when the dude's putting on his suit. And there's like a lot of like, and it's like connecting to shit, and that's like someone loves that one bit. They've spent all the budget on this guy getting dressed.
Hey, look, he is from the art department. He's animation director.
I've got him up on Wikipedia now. Born 1962. He's an anime mecha designer and storyboard artist.
There you go.
Mecha designer.
Lots of them do it. I mean, because if you think in the era that they were doing this in the 80s, you've got, you know, your Mobile Suit Gundam, your Macross, and that was the big thing in the 80s, wasn't it? Mecha stuff. Mm. So It always is.
Mecha cycles in and out.
Yeah. It certainly does. It comes and goes, but there hasn't really, I mean, just only the main ones at the moment, like, because I think we're in a bit of a drought period of mecha stuff at the moment.
Some people are really digging the most recent, what was it, Mercury something? Mercury Witcher, Mercury Gundam.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gundam. Yeah. But I don't think there's new stuff breaking out like they used to. Like, you used to have a bunch of mecha stuff, Mike. I used to watch it at your place.
Yeah, like in the 80s, that was it. Like, that was the big thing. There was heaps of different mecha shows and things, and even into the 90s.
I'm talking about, like, what was that one that you had at your place that was like...
Robotech.
No, Razion, with a bunch of X's in the name, Raphion.
Oh, yeah, Raxion. Yeah, Razaphon.
Razaphon, thank you.
That was like the poor man's version of Neon Genesis.
That was made after Neon Genesis, when Neon Genesis kind of made it cool again.
Exactly. That's kind of what I'm saying. This is like 96, 97. There's the deconstruction of the mecha with like Evangelion taking away the hero nature, even though kind of Gundam already did that, because Gundam was already like a deconstruction of like the Mazinger shit from the 70s. Mm. But anyway, let's get into this fucking shit.
Yeah, let's do it. Hey, before we do though, does anybody want to do a pitch on how you're going to sell this film to somebody to watch it or buy it?
Do you like nobody? Everybody sucks, but the designs are cool. This is the movie for you.
It's pretty much style over substance.
I would say this is Robotech meets Mad Max.
Oh, pretty spot on there.
Yeah,
it's very Mad Max in.
With the best acting I've ever seen. Voice acting on this is like, I can't. Did you guys watch it dubbed?
Yes.
Yeah, I watched it dubbed. That was great. The bad guy henchmen were fucking chef's kiss.
You know what's good? Like, when you do watch it dubbed and they actually put some effort into trying to like do different voices. I hate watching dubbed these days. You know, the mass-produced stuff, when every other guy sounds the same on different series and stuff. It's like they've got a group of 5 voice actors and they get them to do everything, and you're like, oh, that's that annoying person's voice from Dragon Ball Z that's on this.
Everybody
and that,
sounds
this.
Like Troy Baker.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, oh, I, God, how do yeah. they pay this guy money for the amount of stuff that he does? Because he doesn't have any range or change his voice for different characters and stuff.
Mike? Completely as an aside, I'm playing Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth at the moment. Mm-hmm. And that's a fully voice acted in both Japanese, Chinese, and English.
Yep.
Because ever since the second one, they haven't actually been in English. I've played them in Japanese, right?
Yep.
So recently they've started dubbing them again. And I heard that it was good. I heard that it was good, right? So yep. I switched it on halfway through the game. And everybody talks slowly and very American. And like, that's not who the characters are. Yeah. The characters are like up and like, wah! Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Very strange. It was very, very odd. Everybody sounded the same, even the women. And I was like, no, this is wrong. You people are wrong and you're bad.
It sounds the same as the Netflix Transformers, where Optimus Prime can say three words and has to stop and take a breath.
Yeah. See, localization sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I like, that's why I like, you know, Japanese anime, because they do, in the original Japanese, they do put like a lot of effort in choosing the different voice actors to try and get a different voice across. There's always some famous ones that go in different series and sound similar, but most of the time they try and match the voice to like the character a bit.
Yeah, that did not happen with what I listened to. The generic hero, because in Infinite Wealth, you play as two characters. You play as the main character from the old Yakuza games and the Like a Dragon main character as well. Mm-hmm. And they're both the same stoic American douchebag.
Yeah, exactly.
They shouldn't sound the same. They're completely different people.
Exactly.
Well, anyway.
I will say, though, that the voice of Geis, he does sound a lot different to everybody else. He's got this like...
No, this is superhero. Great. This is fantastic. The Weasley henchmen are bad. Sometimes they sound like they're just phoning it in, but they all sound different.
The greatest voice actor in this movie is the female.
She gets nagging down, right?
She does.
Everything she does.
Generic female offsider, yeah. Let's just call her that.
No sense of timing. Everything is rushed. Everything is in one breath. just absolutely brilliant. You cannot get better than that.
No, no, it's very realistic.
He's the most anti-hero ever. Like, he's a psychopathic murderer, mass murdering villain. And he's
at the end of this movie, spoiler alert, doesn't he kill everybody on the planet?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, <that's laughs> pretty much.
No, he doesn't. So what happens is he gets there and he puts he unleashes the robots from the Brain Palace, which has got to be the greatest place on
Earth. Great name.
And
sounds like it's for nerds.
It's where you go to play chess.
And he just smiles because he's got all these things to kill. Maybe they go through and want to destroy the rest of the world, but he just... But he's
fucking psychopathic.
Actually, he is. He just likes killing. That's his job.
Hey, before we get into the plot, I was just going to read the synopsis from IMDb, and then we can
go for it.
Break it apart.
Yep.
All right. Because it kind of explains, because the movie does not explain anything. So
it does not, yeah.
This kind of explains it a bit. So this is in the distant future, and humans have colonized other planets. So the planet Jera is the one that this movie is set on, and is ravaged by decades of war. Geist, the main character, the protagonist, the anti-protagonist, whatever you want to call
it. He's the protagonist in the sense that we follow him.
Yeah, we follow his narrative.
But that's not my choice.
He is an MDS, which stands for Most Dangerous Soldier. He's an enhanced human with combat capabilities, and he also has a crazy lust for battle. And because of the uncontrollable nature, he's actually been cryogenically frozen and locked in a satellite in orbit. But several years later, the satellite crashes, and he wakes up from his sleep to engage in another war. And that's pretty much the setup for this film.
Mine said 7 years later. I don't
was
know.
It 7 years?
Yeah.
If that doesn't seem long enough.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's war, so who knows?
Yeah, war is hell.
So I understand that he was in prison in the satellite because he was the most murderous of all the MDSs. So he's one of the most dangerous. And I don't know if you noticed, but on his dog tags, he's got MDS-02. Yes. So that obviously... That assumes that there is an MDS-01 somewhere kicking around.
And if this has been picked up for that, does that sequel exist that you were talking about?
Yes, yeah. It does.
I might watch that.
Yeah, if you can
find
it.
Just to see how it is.
I was trying to load the things on, because they do have the clips broken up into clips on YouTube.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I was having trouble even loading it up just to do, but I think they kind of...
Arr, matey, you be pirate and you know you be.
You know, I looked for the comic of Geist, and the full collection is like $480 or something US.
Get two.
Yeah, that's right. Now the film, again, it doesn't explain anything, but it kind of opens up. I think it's a flashback to when Geist was in war before he was put in the satellite, because it's him kind of taken out of platoon.
Yeah. Goes into that plane and fucks everybody up. There's actually two bits here. There's the bit where there's like it follows like some fighting in a city, and then it goes cuts to the plane where he just kills a bunch of people.
Now, yeah, he's like laying on the ground in total like Terminator scene with like just bones of humans.
Yeah.
And the plane flying over the top, and then
why does he have a hole in his head? Anyone explain?
It had like a bullet.
That was where a bullet hit him.
It's a bullet, was it? They hit him?
Yeah, and then he pulls it out later.
Yeah.
So he's not just like, he's not just trained like a super soldier. He is invulnerable, essentially.
He's an enhanced human as well, yeah. Genetically enhanced, I think.
I want to make a note. The reason why I picked this film was I was searching for the most violent action films.
It's not that, dude. I've seen more violent animes like on PG-13.
I don't know about that.
Some more violent Pokemon episodes, right?
I will say this. I watched this on YouTube, and there were titties in this, and I was like, damn, YouTube, you don't usually let me see titties.
I have to agree. I was a bit underwhelmed by the amount of violence, but the violence that is in it is pretty well animated.
Oh, like, yeah, it's good. He stabs people in the head a lot.
lots of eyes popping out, and it's really well animated. You're probably familiar with Akira, but when they animate like disembowelments and guts and stuff flying around, it makes an impact.
Well, the very beginning scene, you see this Veritech mech looking thing. Zendrati, sorry, it looks like one from Robotech. Zendrati looking mech just punch a human in half.
Yeah, that's right.
And it freeze frames on it for a brief second. Yeah. And the guy who made this did do some designs for Mobile Suit Gundam, and where was it? I did see it on here a second ago. Where is it? I thought he did one for Robotech as well, or whatever the Japanese name of that is. Where is
Macross.
It?
Macross.
Macross. Yep, there it is. Super Dimensional Fortress Macross. Lovers again!
Well, look, I think the aesthetic of this whole film, especially the technical design, it just looks incredible.
Yeah, it's from when anime looked fucking sweet. It may not have the budget to animate it with a bunch of keyframes, but the actual designs, this guy is actually pretty good.
Yeah. I do love, though, that the fact that all the actors and all the characters, they kind of have, like, you know, mutton chop side kind of things. You know, they look like what everyone else thinks Americans look like, especially
the
main
guy. It's very US through a Japanese lens. It's very 1988, so you playing bad dudes.
Bad dudes versus Dragon Ninja.
I was thinking like hair metal bands kind of thing.
Oh, the music in this is fucking sweet.
Yeah, talking about hair metal, it is. It's like 80s thrash metal, right?
I wouldn't go thrash metal, but it's good. Like I watched it last night with headphones because we had the house open because we needed to cool it down. And I was listening through my quite good headphones. I was like, God damn, this is sweet as hell.
It's a pumping soundtrack. It comes in and out, though. Unfortunately, it's not as consistent as I'd like it to be.
That last fight is like Rocky level greatness. when he fights that like robot with three forms.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a great song during that. I suggest you listen to it again with good headphones.
I'm watching it right now, but there's no sound, unfortunately.
That's actually probably my favorite thing about the whole thing. Very close second to the mech designs.
The music and the mech designs?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it does pretty well. The pacing and the plotting is a little bit kind of all over the place.
You just got to assume that's budget. That's just budget.
Yeah, that's what threw me about this thing is I thought it was, like I said, it was heavily cut or whatever, you know, but turns out that I didn't even know about OVAs, so that would explain a lot.
OVAs were something that was massive during the boom, like the Japanese boom. There's so much of it. I didn't realize we were watching a lot of them either, Christian. They're one of those things where it's like they're too either A, horny or B, violent to put on television a lot of the time. But there was so much money in Japan floating around that people were like just willing to like fund shit like this. And chuck it up and see if anyone was willing to pay for it on VHS or Betamax or Laserdisc.
Yeah, but I want to say, though, that not all OVAs are fully disjointed. Like, I've seen some OVAs that are, you know, like fully realized stories.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it depends on the source material as well, because, like, some of them are born from manga and stuff that where they've actually, you know, been floating
around beginning, middle,
for
a
while.
End.
And yeah, they get some funding to make it into a movie kind of thing.
Mm. But yes.
So yeah, there was a whole industry of OVA during like the 80s and very early 90s before the Japanese economy crashed. Like, because there was just so much money floating around. People just wanted to, like, they had enough money just to fund weird shit.
Well, we used to get a lot more anime movies then, didn't we? Like,
yeah,
that's the thing like as that. Well, because it's most of the funding these days comes from TV, so it really is put on animation movies in Japan on the back burner. So it's a bigger thing to make a TV show because they can they've got you know so many hours that they
which means
fill.
And that I think actually 100% fills into the issue that I have with modern anime, which is kind of like it, but I wish there was more titties and violence.
Yeah, you want like an adult Ghibli house or something like that?
Yeah, like someone should still be trying to keep the spirit of Akira alive, right?
Well, it depends what anime you're watching.
Well, everyone.
I saw an anime talk about horny robots. There was an anime about a character, and he was a boy, and he could only transform into a super mech form if he was really horny. So he just had a bunch of girls trying to get him horny all the time.
Oh, yeah, but so they many, so many of those Aero ones, don't they? It's like a whole
Aero.
Yeah,
there's a lot of blue balls in anime still. Like, I'm not saying that there's nothing, but it used to show, not tell, if that makes sense. And now I feel like it's all show. I mean, all tell, not show.
All tell. Yes.
It's because
Bad Sam is, I think I've seen that too.
yeah.
It's because everything wants to be Netflix and chill. You get, if you, for most things.
I want Netflix and chill, but Netflix and chill is a euphemism for fucking.
Yeah, but if you can make it onto a Netflix thing or anything like that, you all of a sudden become, you know.
Well, damn. No, that's exactly what I'm saying, Christian. Like, the direct-to-video market is the reason, one of the reasons, and the movie industry is one of the reasons that we in this group associate anime with, like, adult hardcore violence and sex, right?
That's Ninja what we're Scroll, introduced
Akira,
to.
Akira, right? But that doesn't really exist anymore. The OVA market is dead. Completely dead. And the movie industry is pretty much completely dead. So you're left with shit that Crunchyroll is willing to pick up and shit that, like, they're willing to put on TV, which is pretty fucking tame by, like, previous standards.
Oh, like, there are some crazy stupid stuff that's skews one way or the other. But less, a lot less. Most
I mean, things are... there's still a shit ton of hentai out there, let's be real, but 100%. I kind of like there to be a story.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is true. There's no money in that.
There's no, like, there is a line between, like, titillating adult sexual themes and porn. And I would like there to be more on the other side a little bit.
Yeah. And
like, I can find porn anytime I want.
I think the other thing is it's only more of a recent phenomenon that they're getting money from streaming services. So most of those things are really designed for the TV in Japan, and they have, like, late night things. So these are shows that play at, like, literally, like, 12, midnight. 1 at 1 a.m. in the morning.
I remember staying up when I was in Japan one time to watch something that was on at 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Actually, can I just say, Nathan, have you seen Blue Eye Samurai yet?
I have not watched Blue Eye Samurai. The 3D puts me off.
Well, you should watch it because it will scratch that itch.
Okay. All right.
It will scratch that
itch. Is there titties in it?
Yes.
Okay, that's weird for Netflix. Netflix doesn't use the word titties and things.
Yes, but it's artistic, Nathan.
Okay,
it's artistic.
All right.
It tells a story. The titties tell a story.
Do you think that the woke or general movement has put a dampener on that type of, hentai?
No, I don't think that's got anything to do with it.
No.
I honestly don't. I literally think it's an issue of money.
Yeah.
Money and where shit can be played.
Exactly, yeah. It's made for a specific audience. It's not designed for Western audience, really, anyway. It's
I think it's probably designed to a degree with Crunchyroll in mind. And Crunchyroll is owned by Sony. And so Sony has said that they don't want adult anime.
Oh, well, there you go.
It's more for, location-wise, trying to get the biggest audience and trying to get the most bang for the buck.
Of course. Well,
they don't make that much. They do, like, set contracts. So it's not like they go, oh, yeah, and you'll get paid extra for however many people stream it. They just do, like, here's a contract. We'll give you $100,000 for the streaming rights. Done.
And it's almost always still stuff that they're playing on TV in Japan beforehand anyway. Like, 99% of the time. Like, The Delicious in a Dungeon on Netflix is going to be on TV anyway. They've just picked up the rights to it, just like Crunchyroll would. The problem with Crunchyroll is now that they bought Funimation and literally closed it down the week we're talking, is that there's no competition anymore. And they've already said that, oh, well, there's High Dive, but does that really count?
Well, they're not. Like, High Dive doesn't fund. They just show, whereas Crunchyroll and Netflix both are on the
now fund side things.
As well.
And they're very family friendly.
No, you're not going to see something like Geist on...
No.
Any of these platforms.
Oh, you might be able to, because when Crunchyroll bought Funimation, they added all of their, like, back catalog in there, so you could look it up, but they're not going to make it front facing.
No.
And they're not going to fund it.
No. Well, let's bring it back to guys. Yeah, let's talk about this actual movie that we're doing. Now, we haven't gotten very far into the plot. All we know is that guy.
Because there's not that much of it. Literally, the summary was pretty much the main parts.
That's the reason I went on these diatribes, because I'm trying to make this interesting for us.
Yes. Okay, well, let's blow through the plot then, and we can kind of touch on the main parts. So basically, Geist has come back. He's crash landed, and the place is still a shithole. And he's able to ingratiate himself into this gang by basically killing one of the big boss guys, one of their bosses, whose name is not in the film because nobody really gets named in the film. But this guy's, the big boss guy's name is Golem. So
it kind of plots it out as if he doesn't care if he's part of the gang. He doesn't intend to join the gang as such. He just wants information about what's going on because he's been cryogenically frozen for 7 years.
I just need to point something out here before we go on. The guy, so this gang is chasing a guy who's wrapped up, who's in this walking suit of armor, right? Now, this guy gets taken down by the gang, and then Geist comes out of nowhere and starts getting the armor and then kills their boss and says...
Who is definitely a Fist of North Star beat villain.
Yeah, he looks like the guy. They challenge him and he says, you guys wouldn't know what to do with this armor. Yet they can take down a guy who's wearing this armor.
Well, I suppose that's the reason why he was able to... Because he's so effective, he's the only one that knows how to use it. The guy who had the armor probably didn't know how to use it properly, which is the only thing I can think to explain why he's so effective in it and the guy was taken out so easily early in the film.
That's how
I kind of read it as well, yeah.
And he beats the boss by slicing his fucking arms off and then stabs him in the head. With a knife.
He
really slowly.
With stabs to the head. He does it like 3 times, I'm pretty sure. Maybe
it's
twice.
Effective for a human, yeah.
Psychotic he is.
Yeah, but that to me was because he was basically after the suit of armor the guy was wearing.
Yeah, that's right. And it's funny, the character, the female character, Vaya, as soon as she sees him take down the boss, she's immediately thinking, well, this guy can look after me. So then she does everything she can to try and get in his pants.
And he is just so not interested.
Because she's found that that's the way life works for her. Let's be real. She's a terrible person, but it's circumstances that have made her a terrible person.
Yes.
Hell zone.
So this planet that they're on, because I don't think we've mentioned this yet, this planet they're on is in a civil war. And there's two armies. The world is basically looking like Fist of the North Star. And
the characters look like Fist of the North Star characters too.
And basically, so this one gang is running around, has this this boss. They take down this guy in a suit of armor, and then Geist pops out of nowhere and then basically becomes the new boss, even though he's not interested about whether these guys live or die.
Yeah, pretty
much. Funny. His disdain for this woman and also his just crazy psychoticness just reminds me of the Street Fighter. Sonny Chiba's the Street Fighter.
Yeah.
He actually sounds like Sonny Chiba too.
Yeah. He's very like dismissive and uncaring. Is the way I would put it.
He's actually the villain.
Well, no, he's our protagonist, but he's definitely an anti-hero at best.
Oh yeah, and you know what's funny is I almost didn't recognize him because when they introduce him at the beginning and when he's
getting a different haircut,
he's got a different haircut and he's also got stubble. And then when he goes into, I guess, fight, because he wants to go and help protect the tank, he's shaved his beard off, his stubble off, and he's slicked his hair back. So I actually didn't know. I didn't realize immediately it was the same character.
That's what made me think that there's like studios cutting bits of it or stuff like that, because you go from one scene where he looks like that, and the next thing it's like this, and it's like, did I miss something?
We can't animate a razor.
And that is exactly why I think it's more of a... almost like a bit of work to get more work. Like, I can do this, I can do that, I can make planes look cool, I can make mechs look cool. This guy looks cool here, but he also looks cool here. It's more to get, like, it's trying to evoke feelings more than it is trying to tell a coherent story.
Yeah, drum up business.
Yeah.
I'm
almost more like a... like almost like a music video more than a story, I guess.
Oh, this would be amazing as a music video.
I reckon they would have storyboarded it out and then started work animating on stuff and then, yeah, ran out of money. So,
yeah,
look to running out of money, which ones do we really need, and then sort of cut bits and pieces out to make it work.
I did hear that when Ohara, because he was a bit of a micromanager, but when he saw the designs for like the tank and stuff like that, he wasn't very happy and he ended up doing a lot of it himself by actually just correcting animations and artwork and stuff.
That's
that's a lot of work.
That's very, very common trope in some of these directors. Anno was famous for doing that too.
But I mean, like, shit, it looks amazing. The tank looks amazing. And the design.
All the designs are pretty good.
The tank doesn't have a scale.
What do you mean? Like, there's no people near it, so you can't see how big it is?
It keeps changing how big it is. It's 1 minute it looks that this huge tank, and the next minute, you know, like, it's barely got enough room for three people in it. Then, you know, he's got, like, all these floors, and it just doesn't have a consistent scale to it.
Yeah, he gets to be at a... He gets his montage to dress up in, a completely dark, empty room, void, in the tank. Yeah, I'm with Christian. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not clear. Because it looks like a mobile fortress, but sometimes it's just like
it a doesn't. Vehicle. Sometimes it looks like a mobile fortress. Sometimes it just looks like a tank.
Yeah. But it's animated very well. And there's, like... It evoked the first bit when they introduced it. It was very much, was it Mad Max 2? Where they're taking on like the fuel tanker. And it's
it's Mad Max 2.
Yeah, like very much, right? Like they're trying to hijack it, I guess. And it's being, the tank is actually owned by the army, I guess, the Jaren army at the time. And I guess Geist's whole plan is to ingratiate himself with the army so that he could go back and join them, I suppose, and actually like go back to war, because it's the general.
I'll just run through the plot really, really quickly.
Yeah, do it.
He comes back to Earth. He meets up with this gang. He takes over the gang. He tells the gang, "You're gonna help me. You're gonna help this tank." He gets into the tank. The lady tries to negotiate a price. It doesn't work out. They leave, but then they decide they're gonna stay anyway. Then they go to the Brain Palace to stop a, like, the Brain Palace is like mad mutually assured destruction situation from going off.
Doomsday plan.
The doomsday plan, which makes like a bunch of like robots who can fuck shit up real hard. And during this whole time, Geist is like, I'm a bad guy pretty much, but I'll help you, human, like Earth army, like Jaren army or whatever they're called. Like he's used to be part of them. And there's one flashback, maybe two flashbacks, but there's one flashback where they decided. So the government decided, the army decided that the MD, whatever they are, the MDSs were too dangerous, and they killed them all except for him. He got frozen instead, apparently. And there's like a little thing there, and then he uses the opportunity to get into the Brain Palace to make the evil monsters that are robots that are going to kill everybody on Earth, the MAD, actually happen. The end. That's the plot.
He just walks around, wants to kill everybody, and he's got a massive heart on while doing it.
Yeah, that's right. He lives to kill.
He just wants to fight. He doesn't care about anything else.
There's only really one B-plot, and the B-plot is the annoying woman.
She's not really in it that much.
I'm saying. There's not really a B-plot.
No. I mean, interspersed throughout all of this is really awesome, like, death scenes of people's heads getting...
Yeah, there's a lot of fight. In 47 minutes, there's, like, 20 minutes worth of fighting, I'd say.
Oh, actually, this is a good time to introduce my new segment here. What percentage of this film is action?
I would say, like, probably... 60-70%. It's not that it's low on action, it's not quality action.
It's not low on action, it's just that the action just stills rather than actually animated.
Yeah, I'd go with that percentage. It's a high percentage, but
it's all stills.
Yeah, it's one of those things stills, with the plot it doesn't really drive, you know, who am I rooting for in this? Him to
it's
call
definitely not
carnage.
A story-driven one at all.
Yeah, that's where it kind of loses me a little bit, because I do like, you know, cartoon violence and so forth for fun, but it was just that with no real purpose.
I mean, really, the general guy, the Jaren general, he's got righteous goals because he wants to turn off this doomsday device. And that's what he's saying that, you know, Geist is supposed to be helping him with. But Geist has got other plans. So I guess
I did like the fact that he tries to double cross Geist because he knows that Geist is going to double cross him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is good. That's also pretty great. That sequence with him fighting that like multiple form robot with the music is pretty spectacular.
It's probably,
and it doesn't look like he's going to win
the movie.
No.
Yeah. Because he's losing pretty much at the beginning.
Well, it depends on how much blood these superheroes have. These MDSs, because he bleeds a lot.
And this robot changes form like 3 times, the second time. And each time it changes form, it seems to have the upper hand at the beginning.
Yeah. And he always hits him once. And there's always a lot of blood. So that guy can heal real quick. I assume he's like a Wolverine.
He's a super soldier.
Yeah.
And he's wearing his outfit, his mech suit. I forget what it's called, like fighter suit or something like that. But it looks a lot like an NFL gridiron kind of outfit. It's even got the grill across his face.
It's like a cross between a mech suit, a gridiron player's suit, and like a knight's armor.
Yeah.
Like a cross between all of those things.
Like, it looks cool, but I mean, I don't know about you guys, but in a film that, in a, you know, like the whole thing has got all these incredible robot designs, right? Did it stand out to you as anything?
No, it was a bit like knighty for me. It was a bit like retro for my taste.
Yeah.
But that just might have been what he liked. That might have been what this guy was into. Designer.
Yeah, it's not that I have a problem with the design. It's just that it doesn't seem to stand in a film with so many other like great designs. There's nothing about it that kind of goes, "Oh, this stands out."
You're right. It doesn't have a great silhouette.
Yeah, yeah, it's got like antennas and stuff. It looks cool, but it's just kind of.
I do want to give it props though. I was serious when I said that. Like, I think the most lovingly animated portion is when he's getting into that suit. Like, there's a bunch of like. And like things retract and go like and attach and things. It's very cool.
It's an Iron Man moment.
To be honest with you, I think the most memorable thing, if I had to pick one, was his voice. Like, his voice acting is more memorable than the animation.
I think it's like a product of its time to some level, but I agree with the knight's kind of frame, because if you look at how the suits are done across the army guys and the design of it, it's very, very suit of armor knights kind of thing. And then the robot army that's going to attack the world that he unleashes at the end is basically knights riding on horseback with lances
with giant,
and stuff.
With giant penis guns.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So,
with giant penis guns.
Yeah, well, that's right. But that's what I...
That's not how your penis looks, Christian. That's how my penis looks.
It was cold that day.
I need to go to a doctor?
It was cold that day.
Probably. Especially if it's shooting hot fire.
It's going to end up on an album cover.
I bet you it is on an album cover. Probably digitized and like made real blurry, but it's definitely an album cover somewhere.
We're going to hell for this. This is why we can't get a deal on Netflix. Wait. Yes.
The end of the film.
Themes. Night themes.
Night themes.
Yeah.
Oh, look. No, you go.
Do you think that that the inspiration for a lot, well, not maybe inspiration, but a lot of the designs, we say he did this, but this was originally done in 86, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We think so. I think. Every age I'm seeing is either 86 or 96, which is probably the director's cut.
So yeah, 96 they added in a couple of extra scenes.
So would, for something that was done in 86, do you think that he borrowed very heavily on from the Robotech, like all other designs? Because I really feel that some of it was like change 10% difference so he didn't get sued.
Oh, hell yeah. Hey, like, I've definitely seen suits like it, the ones in the beginning and the plane, the jet thing that's carrying stuff. a lot before that. There's a bunch of stuff that looks like that, but that doesn't take away from how cool it is, I think.
Yeah, I'm not. When we say, you know, used or whatever, I think the other thing we've got to remember is, especially this guy, because he did work on Macross as well. They do take their talents and mech design to different series and things, and they have their own style. So it's probably just, you know, the style that he likes, kind of thing. Mm. So I don't think it's so much as
he's
as
worked on Gundam and as that's
the kind of plane he likes to draw, and yeah, you know, whether
and
or
it's
not
like his, it's not like his designs are like ripoffs of, you know, like Macross or Gundam or anything like that. They are unique in their own way. Like there's more angular kind of sharp edges. Actually, this
his mech
a lot
suits
like...
are very interesting. A lot of the like I think about Gundam and Robotech, and they're big. I like how he's made them smaller. Like they're just mechs. Like they're just like what would you call them? Personal body armor, power suits.
Yeah.
It almost felt like you know, Starship Troopers to me a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. It's more Starship Troopers or Warhammer 40K than it is Macross or Gundam.
Some of the ideas as well, like the robot at the end that changes like three times. I think it was his third form and
final
it's
form.
It's almost it's like it's breathing. You know,
oh,
like
that,
it's got these.
It fucking looks sweet as hell.
It's cool. It's like it's organic. It's like it's part. I don't know.
I was half thinking, you know, because they were focusing on the MS-02 as his tags. And I was like, I wonder if they've got like one of the other soldiers and just like slapped him in a robot form. You know, what's left of him?
Apparently, the sequel has another MDS as well. I'm not sure if it's MDS-1.
I'm thinking about watching those now that you've told me they exist.
Well, I think there's only one more.
There's only one.
Sure.
Yeah. It's just. I don't think it would be easy to find in a single film. They sort of cut.
Are you going to tell me I have to go and find a fucking laser disc?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That would be awesome.
It's amazing how, like, things don't get kept in a single place, do they? It's like, if you didn't have the VHS from back in the day, too bad to you.
Well, see, that's the thing, right? There's no money in it. So the only people who have this are fans and people who have the originals.
Yeah, there's not enough money to re-release it, but they also don't want to give you the rights and just chuck it up on YouTube.
No.
It's up to people like us. We should spend the $50,000, $60,000, get the rights, dub it ourselves. You know, that's how we should do it.
And just distribute it in like Valdivis or something.
Yeah, that's right. It's Valdivis. We'll print up a disc when you ask for it.
I'll do it on one condition. We do it Samurai Pizza Cat style.
Yeah, hell yeah. We're putting crazy voices in it.
Oh, man.
Such a great show, that show.
All right, we're almost done with guys.
To come back to that
story. Oh, man, we've got a lot to go on, guys. Yes.
Christian.
Where? That guy has me 50 bucks.
I've got two questions for you. Have you watched Peacekeeper yet?
No.
Number two.
I'm not a big fan of John Cena.
I know you're not, but I think you should still watch that show. Number two. Has anyone recently watched Ghost Stories? What's it called? The really good dubbed Ghost Stories.
Yes, you've shown me them.
You should watch more of that then. That's how we should do it. We should get the rights and do that.
We've reached the portion where we start talking about other things again.
Yeah,
that's
I know.
Right.
That's how engaging
this movie's only 45 minutes long.
Exactly.
What do you want from us?
We're trying to fill it a bit. I started watching the new Shogun series on Disney+.
I do
want to
give that a go. Apparently, the banquet scene is fantastic.
Well, I don't. I haven't
seen any of it. I'll have to watch it.
Yeah, it's only two episodes in so far, but it's very well funded and they do the thing where they've got, you know, the Japanese parts are in Japanese and the,
I love
you know,
that.
The rest
I think that's how everybody should do it.
I'll only watch it if the Japanese parts are in Korean.
I will only watch them if they're in Mandarin.
Yeah. It's got Hiroyuki Sanada in it.
It does.
Yeah, exactly.
Hiroyuki Sanada in it.
He's like the lead, kind of.
All right, let's wrap up, guys.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Well, there's no like do this at home except stabbing people in the head.
Oh, well, you know, like if you were going to be a post-apocalyptic world, And you were going to be known for
Let's be real. If I was in a post-apocalyptic world, I'm like that lady. Who's going to be my protector?
Who do I need to fight?
Whose dick do I have to suck to get protected around
me? I'll suck your dick.
Do you feel bad, though? Like, when these kind of things come out and they're like, you know, let's spread humanity to the stars and then immediately start infighting and destroy worlds.
Because it's so human nature, though. It's so human nature.
100% human nature.
Well, I feel bad.
Star Trek's bullshit, Michael.
No, that was the other Geist. Data is actually Geist too. I feel bad because now I know that because all of these times I've been thinking that these animes were cut, chopped and all that type of stuff.
Well, some of them are, Christian. Some of them are. Some of them are movies that have been reduced. Some of them are TV series that have been reduced.
So,
but there was a whole industry in the 80s and early 90s that was all about direct-to-video, 40 to 70 minutes, fucking gore and violence and weird shit.
So don't feel bad. It happens now. Netflix release series and then just axe them before you see the end.
Yeah, but they don't have titties or like people getting gooped.
Some of it is like the need for content as well, that they pick up these series that are actually quite young and the story hasn't progressed like from the source material. So they can make a season and then they're like waiting for them to finish the novel so I can add the rest. They do the opposite where they go, we'll just make up what happens. And then you're like, well, that was crap. And then you realize, oh, hang on.
The opposite, Michael, where they make up something that happens and it's better than the manga.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? What?
Oh, but that's more rare, I think.
Yeah, that's way rarer.
That doesn't usually happen because they do this thing, the Game of Thrones thing, where they usually just run out of material and fuck it up.
Yeah, well, that's a perfect example as well. You run out of the material and the writers that you've got writing the rest aren't quite as good as the original idea. So, yeah.
Which still hasn't come out, motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly.
I assume he's going to die.
Yeah.
That's one of those things where I'm like...
not enough that's going to happen. All his friends are dying.
I'm glad I stopped giving a fuck about those books years ago.
So do you guys think that if back in the day when you first... I don't know. Do you guys remember watching this back in the day?
Geist, I've never seen this before.
I may have seen it. You know what I think I've seen? I think I've seen people making video clips with parts of this.
Yeah,
you know,
I've seen
people
clips
used
of it.
To like make fucking their own music videos with anime shit. Because I have a feeling I've seen that dude riding his motorbike before.
Oh, okay.
Like that one bit looks real familiar, where he's like got his glasses and then he rides down on the thing. That looks like really, really familiar, but most of the rest doesn't.
So, do you guys think that if you saw this back in the day, do you think, knowing what you know about yourself now, that this is something you would want to see more of, or do you think this would be just like, is that it?
I would have been confused.
If I saw this back in the day,
sorry,
I was going to say, if I saw this back in the day, I probably would have been jerking off to the titties that were on there.
All right, after you finished, would you have wanted?
I think because I'm a great proliferator and watching lots of.
I thought you were going to say you're a great jerk offer. I was going to say this.
I would probably go, yeah, I'll watch some more of it, kind of thing. But at the same time, there's lots of shows that were like great, and then they tried to make more. And it just all fell apart because I think these original ideas are great and they work for that little bit, but that was all they kind of thought of and didn't really give much sense to making more of it or whatever. So hence why Western Money gets involved and they make a sequel. That was it. You know, didn't go any more than that.
Sam?
Look, I like that it made it popular. It made anime popular, so we've got better stuff, more stuff, and better stuff. So, but I don't know that I would necessarily want to see more guys.
To answer your question, Christian, I would say, thinking about it at the time, if I had seen Geist, and I'm pretty sure I might have, maybe, but I actually think I saw it on more of an like as a music video thing. I probably, if I'd gone down to Jumbo motherfucking video. And there'd been a Geist 2, and it was like I had the choice of Geist 2 or like Jingle All the Way or some shit. I'm renting Geist 2. Like, I think in our years of abundance, we've forgotten how often we would rent the same shit. I would rent the same shit all the time. And if there was a new thing, I saw all the videos in manga. I saw all the manga videos in Jumbo and Easy Video. If there was a new one, I definitely would have watched it.
And that's like, yeah, get the 5 for $10 or whatever, etc.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yes, I wouldn't have been hanging out for more Geist, but if more Geist had shown up, I would have watched it.
I think...
And you would have too.
Well, I was about to say, I probably would have wanted to see more of it because there is one... This reminded me of this one that I watched a while ago. And I think it's the same thing as Principle. There's the Earth. It's either Earth or another planet is basically down to the last couple humans. There's these robots that are just killing on sight. And there's this one guy who's just going around fighting the robots. And then there's the humans are led by this guy in gold armor. And he's going around and he's saving humanity and doing all the great stuff. But he has an issue with this guy for some whatever reason. I can't remember off the top of my head. And he ends up going with the robots and they have this big fight. And it's a similar thing to Geist ending. He, you know, the robots are taken over and he's like happy as fuck. So this one just reminded me of that. And I wanted to know more about it. So on a curiosity level, that's what I would want to see more of. But as an actual, you know, like it's not so much that it was great and it got me. It's just curious because it just didn't make sense to me.
Yeah. It's like, there's a lot of unanswered questions that you wouldn't mind answering.
Yeah, exactly. A perfect way to sum it up.
Yeah. I think this is pretty evocative of a concept. It might've been good to be drawn out and I guess it did get a sequel. I might try and see that, but like, I think it stands on its own as kind of a cool bit of art.
Yeah. I actually was trying to find the comic to see if I get a bit more plot and back.
Is it based on a manga?
No, I don't think so.
It felt like an original idea.
Yeah, they had the idea and then they made it into sort of a series after the fact, yeah.
There is a comic book series
that explains like him, how he got into the satellite, why he got sent to the satellite.
Yeah, I don't need that. There is actually
three overs, should I say. So there's a sequel and they made a prequel one as well.
Oh, prequel. Okay.
Okay. All right, I might watch one of those if I can find it. Like, I'm not necessarily... I didn't... Like, this is a weird thing to say. I didn't particularly enjoy it, but I did like the... I liked it on the same way I like a good video clip. It was cool.
Yeah.
And it's short.
I didn't like it, but it was cool.
Yeah, it was short. That was the merciful thing. So, I mean, would you watch this again then?
I would watch parts of it again. I'd watch it edited down to a tight 10 minutes.
Tight 10 minutes.
Well, you're in luck, Nathan, because look at YouTube, my friend.
Yeah.
There's lots of like edits of this is the best fights or this is the main fight, etc. They've done just cuts of those.
I would just watch the video clip for the song that plays while he fights the bad, like the three changing, like the three form robot. I just watch that video clip again.
This is not that one that goes do 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 do. Dun, 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 whatever that is. That Venom?
No, this one's got lyrics.
Yeah, somebody's singing. Yeah. In English? Is it in English?
There's some English words.
English words, yeah, okay. So are we giving this a thumbs up? It sounds like
I'm giving it it is the most platonic thumbs in the middle I've ever given.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I would probably give this a thumbs in the middle because it's like I said, I've been running around with this thing in my head for the last... Well, it must be 30 years now, but maybe 20 years. Maybe 10. It was last week, let's face it. but, yeah, I just... it just, to me, was a little bit too... so many more questions. So, in the middle.
The thing is, I don't think answering those questions makes it better.
Yeah.
No, but it does make you want to find out.
I'm on the thumbs down kind of thing. Like, I don't think I'd watch it again. It was half interesting in stylistically from what they were trying to do on different things, but story was kind of meh. And yeah, I'm not that... I was just flicking, like, after I watched it going, you know, was that it kind of thing. Just that's where I stumbled across the sequel, etc. But
it went quick.
Yeah.
I'd say this is... It's very much a thumbs in the middle for me, but I'm going to lean it up only because it is so old that I'm going to give it props for there not being as much of it as there is today. Because, I mean, you're a sport for choice nowadays.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it, I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt and give it a thumbs.
I'd almost give it a, like, to the middle with the music, because the music was kind of cool.
The music's great. Like, it is really good. The bass lines, the synth lines, very, very cool. It's
there is a lot great. Of, like, overs and things that, that do use that kind of music in the 80s and
90s. I know. Well, it's the fucking 80s, man. It's city pop. Exactly. Like, a little bit of metal, a little bit of hair metal.
Yeah.
It's very, very good. But I think...
We'll get Scott to watch it and give us his
opinion. Man.
Yeah, I'd love to hear
it. I liked it, but I didn't love it. And I think that as it is, it's not great. And there's a lot of downsides to it. There is a lot of repeating animation. There is a lot of stills. But there's also a lot of good design. It is 50-50 for me all the way.
Well, there you go. So I guess, well, you know what? Like, we watched it, obviously. So I'm sure there's people who are, if you're on the fence.
It's free on YouTube, motherfucker. You got 45 minutes. Stop watching.
Check it out.
Stop watching ContraPoint's new video about fucking Twilight and watch 45 minutes of this.
Yeah, that's exactly the demographic that we're speaking to. Well, hey, look, if you watch it and you've got thoughts and you want to write in, AsianActionCast, Gmail, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, love to hear your thoughts. And in answer to your question already, Christian, yes, we have had some comments come through.
I don't care anymore.
You know, oh. That's good because I forgot what they were.
We ask for audience participation, then we don't give it.
But
if you would like to, if you guys want to meet a master at debate, let's face it, just trolling. Hit up Sam at the thing, and I will give you.
I love how he threw Sam under the bus because he's not talking about himself.
I will give you a master debater.
Gets banned from shit all the time.
I will give you a master class of how to do it. I'll
get banned.
Yeah, I will get us banned. So far, I love that.
Yeah, change our minds.
All right. I love you guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Take care. Thanks for listening.
Catch ya. Everybody.
Catch ya. Bye.